Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The pale sun rose steadily into the sky as the plane tipped its wings and made a second sweep over the snow-covered peaks below. On board, 57-year-old Chen Yun brought the camera up to her eye and clicked. Pulling it away again, she looked down at the striking image on the LCD and then out the window toward the mountain known as Chomolungma, Sagarmatha, and Mount Everest, among other names. Chen Yun smiled proudly as she showed the image to her friends, Ding Ying and Yang Chaoming, and declared it the best she'd ever taken. With one day left before heading home to Beijing, the three women, who were taking part in a group tour of Nepal, had decided to join others from the group on an early morning flyby of the world's tallest mountain. The women had enjoyed themselves immensely, and for the 59-year-old Yang Chaoming at least, it had completely renewed her taste for adventure, telling the others how she was already making plans to visit the United Kingdom, Ireland, and perhaps Iceland too. Later, that afternoon of March 7th, 2014, the women arrived at Kuala Lumpur Airport for the final leg of their journey back to Beijing, their footsteps echoing across the granite floor as they made their way into the cavernous atrium of the airport's departure lounge. Nearby, Vinny Cynthia Tio and Sugianto Lo from Medan in Indonesia sat, waiting for their flight to be called, anxiously checking their phones for any word from their son, Antonio. The couple had wanted to take a vacation for years, but with three children approaching college age, they'd opted to save what money they could instead. When a friend gifted them a holiday to China, they jumped at the chance. But it had been a long time since they'd been separated from their children. And as they sat, waiting to board their flight, it was hard not to worry, especially since Antonio, their eldest, had yet to come home and it was already dark. After finally getting hold of him, relieved to hear he was home, safe and well, they made sure to lovingly remind him that it was his responsibility to set a good example to his younger brother and sister in their absence. The couple said goodbye to their son just as a loud and cheerful group shuffled into the lounge. 23 artists from China, part of a delegation who'd come to Kuala Lumpur for a three-day painting and calligraphy exhibition. One of the loudest was distinguished artist and calligrapher, Leo Rasheng, who, at 76, was also the oldest of the group. On the bus to the airport, he'd been in high spirits, encouraging the rest of the group to clap along as he regaled them with a selection of his favourite songs. But now he was perturbed as he reproached his wife, Bao Yuanhua, for failing to pack his paintings properly. The argument would soon blow over, however. With boarding announced, the couple, along with Chen Yun, Ding Ying, Yang Chaoming, Vinny Cynthia Tio, Sugianto Lo, and 222 fellow passengers headed in the same direction, made their way to Gate C1. You're listening to Unexplained, and I'm Richard McLean Smith. Thirty-nine-year-old Paul Weeks, just arrived from a connecting flight in Perth, found himself a seat in the corridor just outside the gate. A former soldier from New Zealand, Paul, who lived in Perth with his wife Danica and their two young boys, was heading to Mongolia to begin a 28-day mining job as a mechanical engineer. As he scrolled through messages on his phone, he couldn't help looking at the ring finger on his left hand. How naked it looked, without his wedding ring on it. Earlier that day, at home in Perth, Paul had been gripped by a sudden urge. He turned to his wife Danica and pulled off his ring. "Should anything happen to me," he said, "I want the ring to go to the first son that's married." Then he took off his watch. "And this, you can give to the second." A little stunned and confused, Danica brushed them away. "Don't be stupid," she said. "Just come back and give it to them yourself." But Paul insisted. Just then, Paul heard Australian accents and looked up to see two couples making their way toward the gate. Paul pulled his luggage in closer to give them room to pass. Kathy and Bob Lawton and Mary and Rodney Burrows had arrived in Malaysia from Brisbane to begin a 5-week trip together. Beijing was to be the next leg before making their way to Hong Kong and then onto a cruise down the coast of Vietnam. Kathy's eyesight had been failing for some time, and Bob had wanted to take her on the trip before it disappeared completely. The pair, who were both 57 and shared the same birthday, were also planning to celebrate their next while they were away. As the couples took a seat, Kathy thumbed at a small worry doll. Having long been a nervous flyer, something of this trip in particular had left her feeling especially anxious. In the months prior, after suffering a series of terrible nightmares, a family friend had given her a set of worry dolls to take her mind off it. With the plane a little late arriving, it had just gone midnight when the call came over the Tannoy system for all passengers of Malaysia Airways flight MH370 to prepare for boarding. Then one by one, the 227 passengers began filing steadily onto the plane. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Sign up today and start communicating in less than 48 hours. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. You can also log into your account anytime to send a message to your counselor. BetterHelp is not a crisis line, nor self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online with a broad range of expertise available. And with BetterHelp's commitment to facilitating great therapeutic matches, they make it especially easy and free to change counselors to help you find the right fit. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Unexplained listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/unexplained. That's betterhelp.com/unexplained. Join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. At 12:38 a.m. on what was now March 8th, Captain of MH370, Zahari Ahmed Shah, was given the green light from Kuala Lumpur Air Traffic Control to line up the plane and prepare for takeoff. Zahari duly eased the plane into place at the base of the runway, and then after a flurry of communications, at 12:40, received the routine instruction, cleared for takeoff. Inside the cockpit, Zahari pushed the four thrust levers forward, and the plane began to inch slowly ahead, its speed steadily increasing, until moments later, it was shooting down the runway at 180 miles per hour. At 12:42, as the wheels drew away from the tarmac, Zahari radioed back to Kuala Lumpur, departure Malaysian 370, as the Boeing 777, complete with its 227 passengers and 12 crew, climbed steadily into the night sky. Within minutes, as the plane, one of hundreds at the time, is monitored by Malaysia Air Traffic Management, responsibility for tracking the plane has passed from Lumpur Tower to the Lumpur Approach Team, and finally to Lumpur Radar. As the controllers at Lumpur Radar track the numerous blips on their monitors, the yellow one, labelled MH370, moved steadily up to 30,000 feet and continued on its way across the screen. With the plane heading northwards over the South China Sea toward Vietnam, at 0119, as it approached the border of Malaysian-Vietnamese airspace, Lumpur Radar signalled the captain again. Malaysian 70, contact Ho Chi Minh, 120.9. Good night. Moments later, Captain Shah radioed back. Good night, Malaysian 370. And with that, Lumpur Radar watched as the small coloured blip continued on toward the top of their radar display until eventually it reached the edge and disappeared from view. It was 01:39, 20 minutes after they'd last heard from the plane, when Malaysia Air Traffic Management was contacted by Vietnam's Ho Chi Minh City Air Traffic Control, who had an alarming question for them. Why, they asked, had MH370 not yet crossed into their airspace? For the next 20 minutes, Malaysia Airlines Operations, Kuala Lumpur and Ho Chi Minh Air Traffic Control scrambled to pinpoint the plane, struggling to communicate to each other in broken English. But no trace of the plane could be found. And as the night wore on, it became increasingly obvious that the plane had completely disappeared. At Beijing Capital International Airport, those waiting for friends and family to arrive on flight MH370 are told only that the flight has been delayed. The plane had been due to land at 6:30 a.m. Then, at just before 7:30 a.m., came the horrific news, laid out in a press statement from Malaysia Airlines, that flight MH370 had been lost. A search and rescue operation was launched immediately, focusing on the plane's last known position between the Gulf of Thailand and the South China Sea. Teams from as many as 6 countries dispatched planes, boats, and helicopters to aid the search. And even a United States Navy destroyer is diverted from international waters and sent to the southern coast of Vietnam to assist. Initial efforts are centered on 2 oil slicks, 9 and 6 miles long, that are spotted just off the coast of Vietnam, but nothing of significance is found. As the news began to spread around the world, soon many would be gripped by the extraordinary story of how a plane in this modern era of aviation had completely vanished, with no clue as to what had happened to it or where it had gone. And soon, relatives and friends of those on board would hear about it too. 55-year-old farmer Li Eriao was out working the fields in Handan, in the northern province of Hebei, when he received the news. His 30-year-old son, Li Yanlin, was a passenger on board. He'd been flying home from a holiday in Malaysia. Li Yanlin had been the first person in their village to go abroad by plane. At home in Perth, Australia, Danica Weeks hears the news too. When she tried to explain to her 3-year-old son Lincoln that his father had gone missing, she struggled to contain herself. "It's okay, Mummy," he said. "I will find him." In the evening of Saturday, March 8th, in Carmel, California, 56-year-old Blaine Gibson was at his late parents' home, immersed in memories as he sifted through the remnants of their life together. Being an only child, the house had been left to him after the recent death of his mother, and having put it off for months, he was finally getting round to sorting through everything in preparation to sell it off. Though a lawyer by trade, Blaine had spent the last few years homing in on a long-held ambition to visit every country in the world, having already visited 176 to date. His hope was to get enough money from the sale of his parents' house to continue his itinerant lifestyle indefinitely. But what Blaine craved more than anything else was adventure. When Blaine was only 23, he'd been inspired by the release of Indiana Jones in 1981 and its depiction of the grizzled eponymous hero, jetting round the world in search of the Ark of the Covenant. Soon after, he set out alone on his own quest, travelling to Ethiopia in search of the real Ark of the Covenant. Over the years, Blaine's thirst for adventure had led him to eastern Siberia to investigate the famed Tunguska meteor event, as well as into the jungles of Central America on the trail of the lost Mayan civilization. He'd also adopted the look of his hero, complete with khaki tones and a fedora hat, and had even taken to carrying business cards with the words Adventurer, Explorer, Truthseeker printed on them. And so it was when on that Saturday night a news report flashed up on CNN that a plane had gone missing over the South China Sea, Blaine's attention was caught immediately. And though he was too preoccupied to think much more of it at the time, over the coming months, the story would not let him go. Dealing with stress is a daily struggle. I've tried a host of strategies to help manage my daily stress, like trying to maintain a consistent structure to my day or getting regular exercise. But with a young family and an unpredictable workload, it's not always been possible. One thing that has worked for me so far is NuCalm. NuCalm is clinically proven in over 1 million sessions to improve your sleep, reduce your stress, and boost your recovery without drugs and side effects. NuCalm uses cutting-edge neuroscience and consists of three non-invasive and non-pharmaceutical items, all of which are included in your monthly subscription that costs less than a daily cup of coffee. The whole process is easy to use and to work into your daily routine. So now instead of the day owning you, you can own the day. Own the day with NuCalm and make 2021 the year you manage your stress better. A special link has been set up for Unexplained listeners. Just go to unexplainednucalm.com and get 50% off your 30-day subscription of NuCalm and their money-back guarantee. That's unexplainednucalm.com. unexplainednucalm.com. With the initial search in Vietnam waters proving unsuccessful, it soon became clear that without understanding what had caused the plane's disappearance in the first place, there was no way of knowing where exactly they should be looking for it. The fact that the flight appeared to disappear so suddenly from air traffic control systems after the final recorded message from the pilot, with no distress call being sent out, suggested that either by catastrophic mechanical failure or deliberate action, the plane had exploded in mid-air. At 1:30 a.m., 10 minutes after the final communication, an unusual low-frequency sound was picked up by two underwater microphones close to the Perth coast of Australia, monitored by Curtin University in Perth. It sounded a lot like a large object crashing into the sea. But then, an unsettling discovery forced a rethink. After analysing radar data on the morning after the plane's disappearance, the Royal Malaysian Air Force made the incredible discovery that the plane had in fact still been flying at least an hour after its final transmission was sent. Even more strangely, it had flown in completely the opposite direction to where it had been heading. The Air Force concluded that by 2:22 a.m., flight MH370 wasn't over the South China Sea at all, but somewhere to the north of Indonesia, over the Andaman Sea, roughly 800 kilometers due west of where it was last thought to have been, and where the current air and rescue search was being focused. With the plane still flying long after the pilot's last transmission, the most likely explanation for the plane's disappearance from ATC radar was that its transponder, the device that allows it to be tracked on radar, was manually switched off. Looking closer at the data, it was determined that shortly after it disappeared from ATC radar, the plane, which had been travelling north, made a steep turn to the southwest, a manoeuvre that would have required a significant amount of skill to avoid entering a spiral dive. It then proceeded back toward Malaysia, moving between 31 to 33,000 feet toward Penang Island on the west coast of Malaysia, where it then turned again to head out northwest over the Andaman Sea. It was just approaching the Nicobar Islands, 200 kilometers north of Banda Aceh province, at the top of Indonesia, when at 2:22 a.m. it left the range of the Malaysian Air Force radar. The following day, the multinational search teams, now involving 40 aircraft and 24 sea vessels, were directed to focus their attention on the Andaman Sea. For the family and friends of those on board, since the plane, or what might be left of it, had yet to be located, the agonizingly slim hope remained that it and their loved ones might still be found in one piece. As for those investigating the plane's disappearance, they were faced with the very thorny issue that someone had most likely deliberately, or under duress, flown it off course. This posed a number of possible scenarios. One was that some kind of mechanical failure had led the pilot to take drastic action, perhaps trying to exhaust the fuel supply before doing so. Or perhaps, in having made an unsuccessful effort to attempt an emergency landing, the pilot had then taken it on himself to try and steer the plane away from populated areas before bringing it down. And yet, there remained the mystery over the plane's disappearance from ATC radar. It's not impossible that the transponder might cease working of its own accord, and if whatever had occurred had also somehow tripped the communication system, that would explain why, if an emergency landing was attempted, that no mayday or distress signal was sent by the pilot. Such an event was highly unlikely, and since it was considered equally unlikely that the pilot or co-pilot would deliberately and secretly take the plane off course, there remained only one possibility. In March 2008, a 19-year-old woman attempted to bring down a China Southern Airlines flight bound for Beijing by setting it on fire while she was on board. Then in June 2012, six men attempted to hijack a Tianjin Airlines flight bound for the Chinese city of Ürümqi in the far northwest autonomous region of Xinjiang. After dismantling a metal crutch to create small batons, the men succeeded in storming the cockpit before they were eventually subdued by other passengers. All attackers identified as Uyghur Muslims and had perpetrated their attacks as part of an ongoing ethnic conflict in Xinjiang between the Chinese government and those who identify as Uyghurs, a Turkic minority group, many of whom are Muslim and see themselves more culturally and ethnically aligned to Central Asian nations than the Chinese state. With many in the Uyghur population convinced their culture and ethnicity is under threat from the Chinese government, and the government in turn threatened by the possibility of a Uyghur separatist movement, the two opposing forces have been locked in a steadily escalating series of conflicts since the 1930s. A growing alignment of some Uyghur Muslims with wider jihadist movements had resulted in a number of increasingly violent acts of terror or resistance and retaliation, depending on your point of view. Only a week before MH370 disappeared, a group of knife-wielding attackers had burst into Kunming train station in the southwest of China and killed 29 people, wounding another 130. The attack was blamed on Uyghur separatists. The Chinese government's response to these attacks in recent years has included the forced sterilization of Uyghur women and the placing of up to an estimated 1.5 million Uyghur individuals in internment camps. With 153 Chinese nationals on board MH370 and Malaysia well known as a popular holiday destination for Chinese tourists, there was sufficient reason to suspect the plane might have been targeted for attack. That the National People's Congress and the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference was taking place in Beijing at the same time only served to strengthen the theory. This year, I'm refocusing on what it means to take care of myself, and it couldn't be easier than with Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest delivers delicious food, all built on organic fruits and vegetables, right to your door. It takes literally minutes to prepare, and I never have to think twice if the food I'm eating is good for me. Daily Harvest works directly with organic farms to freeze their ingredients right on the farm at peak ripeness to lock in nutrients and taste. They never use preservatives, added sugar, or artificial anything. Personally, I'm a big fan of the tart cherry and raspberry smoothies, which are the perfect start to the day. With Daily Harvest, there's something for any time. Smoothies for breakfast, crisp flatbreads for lunch or dinner, and food that's perfect for cooler weather too, like their perfectly roasted harvest bowls and soups. With Daily Harvest, I'm enjoying undeniably delicious, clean food without any of the prep. And whether you're looking to have your daily dose of fruits and veggies, or just want to have a little more time back on your hands, you can too. Get started today. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code UNEXPLAINED to get $25 off your first box. That's promo code UNEXPLAINED for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. That's dailyharvest.com. As Malaysian police carried out background checks on all the passengers, there was one in particular that stood out. 34-year-old Maimai Tijiang Abula from Kashi in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. However, despite reports in the Malaysian press that he was an employee at a Swedish flight simulation facility, the man was found to be a talented and renowned oil painter who'd been travelling with the group of artists returning from the Kuala Lumpur calligraphy exhibition. But then, something else. The night after the plane disappeared, Malaysia Airlines publicly released the full list of passengers and crew on board. The list included Luigi Maraldi from Italy and Christian Kozel from Austria. Only neither Maraldi or Kozel had been anywhere near the flight, both being alive and well at their respective homes when the plane disappeared. After consulting with Interpol, it was discovered that both men had their passports stolen in the last 2 years while holidaying in Thailand. Unfortunately, Malaysian Immigration had failed to check the passports against the Interpol database before allowing whoever was using them to board the flight. The database had been created in the wake of the September 11th hijackings, precisely to try and prevent such an event from ever happening again. As one police official would later reveal, only recently an attempt had been made by two other passengers to fly out of Kuala Lumpur on fake passports, armed with explosives. Soon after, a small travel agency in Thailand revealed that they'd booked the tickets for the passengers via an intermediary known as Mr. Ali, who was based in Iran. After CCTV images were circulated of the unknown passengers, they were eventually identified as 18-year-old Puri Nur Mohammed Mirdad and 29-year-old Devavar Saeed Mohammad Reza, both from Iran. Despite some alarm in the media at the Iranian connection, both men, as it turned out, had merely been trying to get to Frankfurt in Germany in an effort to escape their birth country and claim asylum. Not terrorists at all, but two young men hoping for a better future that was lost with all the others on flight MH370. Though terrorism remained a possibility to some, with the lack of any obvious suspect on board and no organisation coming forward to claim responsibility, many began to suspect the theory was a dead end. And then something else, unexpected, came to light. On the morning of the plane's disappearance, an unusual series of signals were picked up by a satellite located roughly 35,800 kilometres above the Indian Ocean. It belonged to the British satellite company, Inmarsat. The signals were comprised of 8 distinct pings recorded at 11 minutes past the hour up until 8:11 a.m. Malaysian time that appeared to show something moving across the earth. Working from the Inmarsat data control room based out of Old Street in London, England, employees analysed the signals over the course of a few days before coming to a stunning conclusion. The pings had been coming from Malaysian Airways flight MH370, with the last ping received almost 6 hours after the last known location of the plane was established, suggesting that not only had it not crashed or gone down in the Andaman Sea, but it had continued to fly for a further 6 hours beyond this point. To make things more complicated, however, with the ping only providing a single point of data, where the plane was on a line of latitude, the location of the aircraft could only be guessed at roughly. It also wasn't clear if the pings represented latitudinal north or south, which presented two possibilities for the plane's last known whereabouts. Either it had ended up right in the middle of the Indian Ocean, or it had flown right across the autonomous region of Xinjiang and ended up somewhere in the middle of Kazakhstan. You've been listening to Unexplained, Season 5, Episode 11, Destination Unknown, Part 1 of 2. Part 2 will be released next Friday, February 24th. If you enjoy Unexplained and would like to help support us, you can now do so via Patreon. To receive access to ad-free episodes, just go to patreon.com/unexplainedpod to sign up. Or if you'd like to make a one-time donation, you can go to unexplainedpodcast.com/support. All donations, no matter how large or small, are greatly appreciated. Unexplained, the book and audiobook, featuring 10 stories that have never before been covered on the show, is now available to buy worldwide. You can purchase through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Waterstones, among other bookstores. All elements of Unexplained, including the show's music, are produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can reach us online at unexplainedpodcast.com or Twitter at unexplainedpod and Facebook at facebook.com/unexplainedpodcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.